What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic taking you through this Thursday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And we bring in our good friend Josh Cooper from The Athletic, also used to cover the Predators for the Tennessee. And Josh, what's going on, my man?
I miss you guys. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning, Josh.
LA right now. Thank God I have a child, otherwise I'd be asleep. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, Josh. How are things going out in your neck of the woods?
Oh, my God. Lots of staying at home. Lots of staying at home. Fortunately, we have a lot of really good creative stuff going on at The Athletic right now. And, I mean, obviously this coronavirus is awful and it's terrible and it's nothing to joke around about by any stretch of the imagination. However, without it, I probably wouldn't have written this story about the 04 Vanderbilt basketball team, which is my favorite team I think I've ever covered in my life, because we've been really going deep on nostalgia and our favorite teams and being able to go back and talk. I assume this is what we're talking about because I heard the lead-in was the 04 Vanderbilt basketball game when they beat NC State. But being able to just talk to Matt Parigi, who, I mean, Joe, you missed out on covering that guy, man. He was an absolute legend. He was, at the time when I was at Vanderbilt, everyone talks about Jay Cutler, and everyone asked me, what was it like to go to school with Jay Cutler? You know, at the time, it was, what was it like to go to school with Matt Parigi? Because he was the big man on campus, the BMOC, as Dick Vitale would say. And that tournament run was just absolutely, it was seriously, Matt Parigi said it was one of the best three-week stretches of his life. For me as a student reporter, it was one of the best three-week stretches of my life as well.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Matt Parigi certainly as a player, but this story and this Q&A you had with him, I mean, he was fantastic. And, you know, I vaguely – that jarred my memory, that comeback. I forgot that it was that dramatic, you know, down 10 with 2:44 left. But, you know, you think about that. I mean, obviously that was probably one of the great wins in program history.
It has to be, right? And that's sort of the thing that I wanted to write about was because, look, I mean, and it's kind of crazy to think about. There's another thing I'm working out for The Athletic that'll be out next week, but things that happened before, say, like the viral is actually a horrible term we can use right now, but the age where things really went crazy on YouTube, Twitter, everything else, like they, you know, they're stored in our memory banks, but they're not as noticeable with a lot of people. Like obviously the Shane Foster game in 2000, what was it? 08, I want to say. I mean, that was unbelievable. You know, Vanderbilt's game against Washington State in 2007. That was tremendous when they played Georgetown in that NCAA tournament. That was incredible. The SEC championship run that they had was pretty great. But, like, this one gets glossed over a little bit, and I think it's because it just predated the era where you could get those incredible clips on YouTube, on Twitter, social media in 2000. Facebook did not exist, at least at Vanderbilt in 2004. And, I mean, this was, like, we all were just, everyone was elated. I remember being at the game, and granted, like, you're a student reporter at the time, so, yes, you have to, like, try to be, you know, you have to try to keep calm, but also, you know, you're a fan like everyone else. You go to school there, and I texted the story to my, my friend who covered the game with me, and he said, you never mentioned the story we were doing spirit fingers underneath the underneath the table during Corey Smith's free throw. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that one too. But it was just like magical overall. And I was talking to Mitch Light, our editor, about it, Joe. And, you know, just, you know, like it was one of those comebacks. I think you had to be there to really feel it. Like, the Shane Foster game was at Memorial Gym, and everyone was there and could feel it and know it. But, and, like, the SEC tournament, like, a lot of Vanderbilt fans were able to make it. I don't – was that in Nashville in 2012? I don't quite recall. But either way, like, those are easily accessible for Vanderbilt fans. This is in Orlando, and you had to be there to really kind of just grasp the magnitude of it. And for how long, you know, those players – and by the way, the other thing, too, about those guys is that they were all just, like, great guys, too. Like, they were just humble, accessible. You saw them on campus. Like, they would say hi to you. They knew your name. Like, even if you weren't the student reporter, like, they were just all such good guys. I remember after I graduated college in 2005, I went and visited David Shibishevsky. And by the way, I still know how to spell that dude's name without looking it up in Poland. And we just, like, went to a basketball game and watched him in Poland and hung out with him afterwards. And he bought vodka at some Polish grocery store. And we just spent the night, like, me and my friend and Davi. And he had never met one of my best friends from college. He never met him. And he just treated him like he had known him his whole life. Like, they were just such a good group of guys. They were so close. They referred to themselves as V-Unit, which was a tribute to 50 Cent's G-Unit. And they were just great. They were just awesome. And one of the more interesting things about it, and Joe, I think, you know, you covering Vanderbilt kind of these last several years, you get a kick out of it, is Kevin Stallings was a good coach at one point, right? like you look at those moves, they worked.
Yeah, I think there's probably a little more appreciation for him around here than maybe there was, like, you know, 4 years ago, I'm guessing.
That was the big takeaway I had, like, kind of working through this, is, like, and talking to some of my friends from that era, was he was a good coach at one point. Like, and granted, you know, like, things obviously kind of fell apart for him, obviously, at Vanderbilt, at Pitt, definitely. But he really did some really interesting, like, he was a good coach for a while at Vanderbilt. And, you know, one of my actually favorite memories of him, and he always treated us very fairly as students. Why, I don't know, but he did. And I remember we covered a game at South Carolina when they lost at South Carolina. And we were in a car following the – like, we weren't trying to follow the team bus afterwards. We just happened to pull out of the parking lot at the same time the team bus did. And we stopped off at a red light. And my friend – and I'm like, you know me, Joe. Like, I'm a pretty shy guy when it comes to a lot of stuff. My friends, like, jumped out of the car and, like, you know, started giving thumbs up to the team bus or whatever, like, in support of the players or whatever. And then you get to the next red light, and then all of a sudden we see the door open to the bus. Kevin Stallings runs out, gives us a pizza, because I guess they eat pizza after the games, and goes, "Thought you guys might be hungry." And just, like, went back into the team bus. And we were just like, whoa. And I remember as like, the sports editor having to then call, like, his office and being like, "I wanted to call and thank Coach Stallings for the pizza he gave us. Thank you." It was just really interesting overall. But it was a great group of guys and it was seriously, like, the time of my life was covering that team. Like, it was really just the best.
Josh Cooper from The Athletic on the line with us. And, Josh, I remember watching that game and the winning basket being scored on that backdoor cut. And I'm just thinking to myself, how did NC State let that happen and let that basket, yeah, just kind of happen and unfold that way?
Yeah, you know what's so crazy about that, Robbie, is, like, you watch that, and one of the things they talked about in the Q&A was how they ran the same offense. And so that's what I asked. I was just like, how in the world did they not see that coming? I was sitting on press row, and I'm like, oh, there's Corey Smith, like, running back door. That's so, like, clear as day to me, and they just completely missed it. I don't think anybody has a real explanation for it. And I did talk to Mario Moore for the piece, and unfortunately this wasn't able to make it in, but he said they were playing him so soft. He said it was like they were running it in practice. So, you know, like, sometimes we forget that, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm getting kind of crazy nostalgic right now. I was about to say, talk about the NCAA tournament as if it's going on right now, which sadly it's not, but you know, you forget that these are student athletes. They're not pros, and they're definitely prone to let-ups like that. And, I mean, at a big moment, like, Vanderbilt just hit the right notes, and NC State just missed. But, you know, one thing, and this didn't make the story, and I just want to point out, was I did ask Matt Parigi when I was talking to him what it meant to see Julius Hodge go on a run later in his career in the NCAA tournament. And he couldn't have been happier for the guy, because, like, watching Julius Hodge just, like, cry and be so upset after that game, I mean, that guy gave his all that game, too. Because, like, all these kids do. And that's what makes the tournament so great. And but, yeah, they just missed out on that play big time, and Vanderbilt capitalized. I mean, I remember sitting on press row. I was shocked. And, like, one thing you don't see is when Corey Smith is, like, walking to the camera and, like, pounding his chest, I was literally maybe, like, 4 feet, like, kind of in front of him, like, on press row, like, just staring at him. And I was just like, oh, my God, this is really happening right now.
So this got you to Phoenix then, too, right? Did you were there for the Sweet 16 game against Emeka Okafor and Ben Gordon?
So I was not, actually. I did not make it to Phoenix. I don't recall what the reason was. I think it just had to do with exam schedules, to be honest. I just think I had just way too much schoolwork going on. And I mean, this is obviously like a very typically Vanderbilt thing to like have too much schoolwork and skip out on the Sweet 16. But
you Vanderbilt students, I tell you.
I remember I didn't make it. However, I did go to the Masters in 2005. And essentially was given a D on a project for going to the Masters to cover Luke List at the Masters, and trying to beg and plead and explain to the professor, this is like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to cover a Vanderbilt student playing at the Masters. You're seriously going to mark me as absent? And he was like, yes. And I got zero support from student media, and that was it.
Worth it,
I
man.
Got to cover
worth
the Masters.
It, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I look at my GPA sometimes, and that did tank it a bit. I do often think about that. But, you know, how many people can say they got to cover the Masters? And it was the 05 one when Tiger played DeMarco, played DeMarco in the playoff. He ended up beating him. And I remember I actually sat at, I think it was, there was some press gondola at AMN Corner, and Ray Romano was sitting behind me just ripping on Thomas Bjorn the whole time, which I thought was, which is still a memory I will cherish forever, of hearing that, you know, Ray Romano voice, like, Thomas Bjorn's terrible. Like, he basically saying, like, I don't think he said it in those words, but he was kind of ripping on Thomas Bjorn. It was pretty hilarious.
Josh Cooper from The Athletic has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Josh, really enjoyed this story. And, buddy, miss you as always. Hope you and the family are doing well out there in L.A., and thanks for coming on with us this morning. We appreciate it.
You guys, too. Stay safe out there, and miss you all, and hopefully come back to Nashville at some point when I'm allowed to leave my house again.
There you go. take care out there, everyone. Man.
Thanks, Josh. We'll be right back with more Morning Drive next. This is Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, guys. It is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.